All right, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 2 today. Rahab. What a very, very, very interesting person. Let's read the story. The history, I should say. So, I put this in here on the map so that hopefully you see the Dead Sea right here. Modern-day Jerusalem. Here's Jericho. Jerusalem is right around in this area right here. And the children of Israel had been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And then they came up on this side of the Dead Sea, the east side of the Dead Sea. And they were going to enter into the Promised Land right here near Jericho. Okay? And so, the children of Israel, you're going to notice, are in a place that is mentioned there in the text called Shittim and Abel Shittim, you see right there? Okay, so that's kind of, you got an idea where they're at. This massive crowd of refugees, you might say, about 2 million of them. You think we've had an interesting time at the border? 2 million are over on the other side, and the Lord is directing them. I'm not going to get into that other, who's directing the other people that we might be thinking of. But let's start reading in Joshua 2, verse 1. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." It came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. "I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came up out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." Excuse me. I have a little frog in my throat this morning, so. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord. This is still Rahab talking. "Please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, and it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land, that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She said to them, go to the hill country so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward, you may go on your way. And the men said to her, we shall be free of this oath to you which you have made us swear, unless when you come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window, through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear. She said, according to your words, so be it. So she went, she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Let's pray. Father God, I ask in Jesus' name, I know some of us may not understand yet what I mean when I say this, but I pray that each and every one of us would have the scarlet cord of your salvation hanging from our window, the window of our lives. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to have the kind of faith that Rahab shows in this story that we just read. Lord Jesus, help us to be ready to go and be with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My preaching professor taught us, I wonder how many of you can remember the three things that we always have to be ready to do. How many times have I said this in the last 6 years, I'm wondering? We always need to be ready to pray. I know, you know it. Don't give it away. You're the teacher. Always be ready to pray. Always be ready to preach. And always be ready to die. Okay? And that's not just for preachers. That my preaching professor is the one that caused that to be burned on my brain housing group for until the day I die, I'm sure. Or I get Alzheimer's, one of the two. So, I always want to be ready to pray. I always want to be ready to preach. And I always want to be ready to die. And this story, and it's interesting to me how I've been reading it every single year, probably for the last 15, maybe 20 years now, I've been reading through the Bible every year. That's kind of what I do. And I don't know that I've ever seen this story the way it's just opened up this year. In an amazing, and I love how God's Word just does that. And so I hope that you'll be blessed. I'm going to fly through this. That's the big picture. Remember last week, God promised Joshua, and he talked about from the Euphrates River all the way down to the Mediterranean Sea. All the land there is what God was giving to his people. And now Joshua is getting ready to go in and help the people of God take possession of what God has given to them. Okay? And here we go. First of all, as any good military leader would do, Joshua wants to find out. He's saying, it's time to go in and take possession of the land. Well, what does a good army leader do? You want to find out what you're going to be sending your troops into. So you send in a couple spies. You want to find out how good are the defenses at Jericho. That's our first battle plan. Battle attack is going to be right there in Jericho. How good is the city? How well is it built? How difficult is it going to be to attack? Because remember, at this point in the scenario, Joshua hasn't been told how the building is going to, or the city is going to be taken. Okay? So as far as he knows, we mentioned in the reading there that they've already attacked Og, king of Bashan, Sihon and Og, those two kings, and completely taken possession of the land east of the Jordan River, and the Gad, the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have already entered into their possession on the east side of the Jordan, okay? And they are going to be leading the way in this attack of the rest of the land on the west side of the Jordan. So Joshua is sending in two guys to spy, okay? And to see what they're going to be getting themselves into. Two spies go into Jericho, spy it out, and while they're there, they want to not stand out. They don't want to look like spies. Did you know that? When you're a spy, you go in and you want to just look like everyone else. And I think that's why they ended up, they just wanted to look like two men. Where would two traveling men go in that city to find a place to stay? They would go to Rahab's house or another business of that sort. Okay? And so they end up there. And interestingly, and I believe this is one of those amazing, amazing divine appointments, that they just end up in Rahab's house. Because Rahab, though we've already know by, it says that they went into the house of a harlot, and I'm not going to go into all the detail. It's Family Sunday, by the way, but I just want us to highlight this one reality. This woman, Rahab, where the two spies are going to take refuge in her house, she is just as guilty of judgment and punishment as everyone else in the city. God's judgment is coming on the city of Jericho, and the people who have been doing such horribly sad and wicked and evil things in that city for so many years are going to be punished. And I want us to highlight that and understand that Rahab deserves that punishment just like everyone else in the city. And it reminds me how when I got saved, I was living in, if you knew me in high school particularly, I was just living with a whole bunch of other sinners, doing all kinds of stuff, running away from God, living my own life. Why did God pick me out of all those sinners? And I don't know how many of the rest of them got saved after I did. My buddies that I ran and did all kinds of crazy stuff with all through high school. But God, by His grace, sent somebody to me to tell me about the good news. Just like some God sent two, you could call them proclaimers of good news to Rahab. Okay? We'll see that in a minute. So two spies go to Rahab's house to lodge there. And though Rahab, I want us to just highlight this, Rahab is absolutely just as deserving of God's wrath as all the other people, all the other sinners of Jericho. Okay? And yet, this amazing grace gets extended to her. Let's see what happens. Rahab says, I want you to highlight her faith. You know what somebody believes based on what they say. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and the Lord says, believe in your heart. The verse in Romans is right there on the tip of my brain. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Notice the confessing with the mouth that is so important in the Christian life. Rahab says to them, I know that Yahweh, she uses the proper name of God. She uses the name of Yahweh, the special name of the God of the people of Israel, the Hebrew people. They don't worship this God named Yahweh in Jericho. She says, I know that Yahweh has given you the land. How does she know that? How does she know that? I know that Yahweh has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. The people, she's describing all of the people in the city of Jericho. They've seen this 2 million people coming up, you know, through the wilderness, and they're camping over there across the Jordan River now, and their knees are knocking together in that city. Because why? Check it out. For we have heard how the Lord, how Yahweh dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. She's heard this is interesting, and it's important to note that word about the destruction of the Egyptian army by the God of the Hebrews did not stay a secret. It got spread all over the place. You can imagine how word gets around, even if you don't have CNN and Fox. Word got around. Because when they get here at this time, look at what they're saying. We've heard how Yahweh dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. So she's recounting the history of the victories God has given to his people as they traveled from Egypt in their wilderness wanderings, you know, since they came out of Egypt. It's awesome how she is proclaiming her faith, or declaring what she believes to be true about this God. This God has given you the land, and our people are all terrified because he's about to give you this land too. And she knew it. She knew that her city was a city of wickedness and evil, and deserved the punishment of God. And she was ready for it. Look what happens next. So she says, we shall be... Did I accidentally push it twice? Maybe there's some missing things there. She says, this is the spies responding to her. We shall be free from this oath unless you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down. Okay, so that is, I was thinking for some reason I left a little bit out, but So the two spies respond to her, "We shall be free from this oath," and they're making an agreement. And you remember, as we read it, that the spy said, "Well, she's asking for salvation. You're coming in and taking over the land, and please, I'm helping you," she says. "Can you help me out? Can I be protected since I'm helping you and all my family?" And they agree. Okay? And they say to her, "We shall be free from this oath unless you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household." I want you to camp on that for just a minute, because it's amazingly similar to what we studied in the life of Moses, when God said, "There is an angel of judgment coming to Egypt. There is an angel of judgment coming to Egypt, and the children of Israel need to kill the Passover lamb and put the blood on the top of the door and on the sides of the door," right? You remember that? "And when the death angel passed through Egypt to kill all of the firstborn of Egypt, the blood on the door would protect everybody in that house." Right? Yep. What was that? It's Passover, yes. So the blood of the Passover lamb on the door was what kept the death angel from bringing that judgment and death into that household. And now, judgment is coming to Jericho. It's interesting how very similar it is. And this woman has helped God's people. And look what, this is so important. She's declaring faith in the God of Israel. I'm wondering if I somehow mixed up the, she tied the scarlet cord in the window. I got to flip back. I'm trying to figure out how this slide disappeared from my... Well, that is certainly possible. So, I'm always reluctant to, you know, to just guess how she came up with this information. She knows, and it wasn't a secret thing that God was, what God had done to the Egyptians when, and now there's 2 million people across the river ready to come into the land. So, but in Joshua 2, look at verse 12 in your Bibles. It says, "Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." So the men said to her, "Our life for yours. If you do not tell this..." We have heard. "Give us the land that we will deal kindly with you." Okay, here it is. It's in verse 16. Was there? She tied the scarlet cord in the window. And I believe I somehow, if you look down in verse 16, she said to them, "Go to the hill country so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way." The men said to her, "We shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear. unless when we come into the land you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this our business to the others, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made to us. And she said, according to your words, so be it. So she sent them away. Now, the important thing I want you to remember is that she declared in that discourse that she shared with them that she believed in this Yahweh, the Elohim of heaven and earth. She declared that he is God and that he was obviously all-powerful over the gods of Jericho, Baal, and all the other gods that they worshiped there. And she demonstrated her faith by, one, speaking it to these spies as she declared to them, I know your God is the one true God and that he is Lord. And when they said, all you got to do is put this red cord in your window and you're going to be okay. You can imagine when an army is coming at your city like this, what's it going to be like? It's going to be dangerous. They're coming to destroy the city, to take it over by force. And it's an amazing thing that just as the children of Israel put the blood on the door and the angel of death passed by, that when she put the scarlet thread in her window, there she didn't have to be afraid. Her and everybody that she brought into her house. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And so I don't know about you, but I was thinking, I don't just want to save my own neck. I want to bring in some more people into my house. I want more people to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. So today, as we take communion, as we come to the table, we're just going to go into a time of prayer. And I want to ask you a question. Using this story, the judgment is coming, right? The Word of God from Genesis all the way through to Revelation points to that book of Revelation that the Lord Jesus is coming back. He came once, and it's interesting that so many of the Jewish people did not recognize him because they were looking at the Old Testament passages that talked about him coming as a powerful king, you know, to, you know, destroy all the enemies and to set himself up as king. They were looking for the second coming before the first coming. So when he came the first time as a humble servant who would wash his disciples' feet and sit down and talk with a harlot at the well in Samaria, a Samaritan even, how he would ask her for a drink of water and then offer living water to her. Remember that? It's one of my favorite stories in the Gospels. How he, this same God who is cleansing Jericho with his judgment in the next few chapters as we read on, is the one who entered into the world and became a humble, itinerant Jewish preacher, teacher, who would say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It It's so important that we start there. King David, as I read earlier, I want to, as I enter into a time of prayer here, getting our hearts ready, I want us to think about Psalm 51 again. Let's pray. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth, in the inward being. You teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit.